Hello and welcome to Messages at BBC. In these messages, you'll hear from professors, staff, guest speakers, as well as students. These messages were spoken and recorded on campus at Boise Bible College. If you'd like to check out Boise Bible College, please see our website at boisebible.edu.
I am looking forward to warm, sunny weather. I like the cold, but I'm over it. One of the things I'm looking forward to going hiking in warm weather. Now, of course I can hike in the snow. My snowshoes are still in the back of my truck. But this in-between stuff is nonsense. Hiking in the cold, good. Hiking in the warm, good. Hiking now, not good. Because as the snow starts to melt, you get mud. And mud and hiking, bad. Just doesn't work. I love my job, but this week I'd rather be hiking. What are you looking forward to in the warm weather? What would you like to do? Hike, walk, swim, kayak. By the way, stay out of the river. It's not ready for you yet. Walk along the greenbelt. Just sit outside. I'm looking forward to getting back up into the mountains. But can we be honest? The activities might be secondary. Because when warm weather hits this place, we're thinking about something else, right? We're thinking about the end. Just me? The end of projects. The end of tests. The end of the semester. The end of the year. The end of school. At least for a time. I'm looking forward to the end. What are you looking forward to? Going home, seeing friends, just a break from homework. Don't do it now because it'll be fake, but I really kind of expected a bigger reaction than that. Can I tell you, I'm looking forward to a break from grading your homework. Looking forward to hiking, looking forward to spending more time in the mountains, among the trees, in the warmer weather. But right now, hiking in the mountains is a little tricky because there's an obstacle, and it's not just mud. There are these other things. Bears. You see, in the spring, the bears start to wake up, and wherever the snow was melting, they're looking for food, and that food could be meat. So it makes hiking just a little bit more difficult. Let me put it another way. Last semester, around Christmas time, I got to spend some time with Trent and Serene's parents, got to know them a little bit. They invited me to come visit them in Zimbabwe, and they would tell me where to camp. And where I would camp with them in Zimbabwe, we would have to worry about lions. I challenge you to read some stories about lion attacks in Africa. Maybe go read or the book, maybe go watch the movie The Ghost in the Darkness, because African lion attacks are scary. Past few weeks, we've spent some time with Peter, the old man. Our brothers have walked us through some timely and some very real advice. How does this old man finish up his first letter? Well, he includes these words: be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He warns us about the lion that wants to devour us. Just like there are bears that are ready to eat me if I go hiking in Idaho, our enemy is lurking behind the summer fun. When I hike, there are bears and they are hungry. When you go home, there are old friends and maybe old temptations. When you have no homework, you have more time. And the peasants rejoice. But we don't always use our time wisely, do we? Even if you're dedicated to an internship, if you're plugged into ministry, do we always use our freedom well? Now, I'm going to be honest. I think I can fight a bear or a lion. There are people who love me who think I'm pretty dumb for saying such things. But let me tell you this, my only chance in fighting one of these critters is face-to-face. But do you know that's not how lions attack? Lions wait in the tall grass. They stalk. They sneak up. And when a lion attacks you, his goal is to bring you down and kill you before you even realize you're being attacked. And that's what our enemy does. Peter, the old man, says, be watchful. Be clear-headed. Do you think he had to stay on watch as an old man? The experienced apostle lived his life looking toward the end, encouraging us to follow Jesus. Do you think he had to beware of the lion and temptation? I do, and I think that's why he warns us. Last semester, we were reminded that we belong to Jesus. This semester, we've been challenged to live like Jesus. Do you remember what your brothers have said over the past few weeks? Good stuff. I hope it will carry you into summer. If we're to live like Jesus, how did Jesus model resisting this lion? Well, let me look at the lion one more time. As we back up to the verse before the one I read, Peter talks about anxiety. Can I admit to you that I would rather walk on a trail where a lion can eat me than walk through the hallways where my anxiety might overwhelm me? And that can happen in a place like school or church. Maybe I'm not alone. What makes you anxious? Scary monster animals? Public speaking? Your friends? Not having friends? Lions and bears don't scare me. What really scares me is what's in my head. I'm going to be vulnerable with you. I worry about disappointing people. That anxiety solidified for me in middle school when all I wanted was my dad's approval. I'm a good speaker. I've worked hard on this craft, not just from the stage, but also in interpersonal conversation. But I worry about saying something stupid and hurting people or embarrassing myself. That's there. I'd rather face a lion head on, but that's not how the lion attacks. The enemy doesn't fight fair. He gets in my head and he tells me I'm not good enough. He tells me you're all going to laugh at me. He tells me I'm going to fail. And yeah, that's still real for me. Some of you know that feeling. You sit down and take a test and you are certain that all of the answers are going to disappear. It's not high school, it's not middle school anymore, but do you ever walk around these halls and wonder if it's really any different from high school? You're certain that everyone's looking at you, waiting to laugh at you or criticize you like a pouncing lion. And you feel that even if you know it's not factually true. You feel that even if it doesn't match your experience as a student here. Called anxiety, and most of us have experienced it. So what does the Bible say about anxiety? What does Peter tell us to do with that feeling? How do we deal with this prowling lion? Look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. God is great, big, and you are not. But what does he do? He wants to lift you up. Why? Because he really likes you. He thinks you're great. Verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Take our anxiety and place them in God's mighty hands. There's a lion who wants to devour you. He may use temptation head on, and it may be something like sexual temptation, but he might use something like anxiety, which is called invisible. Semester, we've heard a lot about suffering. That may cause you a little bit of anxiety, and that's real. God wants to spare you from the suffering of sin. God wants to spare you from the suffering of anxiety. Did you hear what Riker said? Do you remember what Trent said? We resist the lion by casting our cares on the one who really cares. We place our burden of anxiety on the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. Peter said that a couple of verses earlier, back in verse 4. Have you seen all the pictures of Jesus as shepherd? I've got a couple in my office. They're good. They're meaningful to me. But The shepherd is always so gentle. You've seen the pictures, yes? Can I tell you that that is strength under control? Remember David as a shepherd when he goes to fight Goliath and he's having to convince Saul he can do this? What's his trump card? He says, as a shepherd, I fought a lion and I fought a bear. Jesus is your shepherd and he's that kind of shepherd. He can take out the lion. He's bigger. Why? Because God is powerful. God is the one with the mighty hands. Cast your anxiety on that kind of shepherd. It's easy. But it's not simple to do. So I've started praying this with my own anxiety. I've had to do that again this week. I take my anxiety over saying something stupid in chapel in front of everybody, and I give it to the shepherd. And you know what happens? When we do that, when we say that, we're spending time with Jesus. And doesn't everything just make a little bit more sense when we do that? Keep telling yourself he really does care. The old man says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Anxiety interferes with that. A few years ago, I picked up a book at a garage sale. It was a book written in the 50s about bear attacks. Now, I got to tell you, I've spent my whole life walking around in the woods pretty casually, not worried about much. Have there been dangers? Sure, I could fall off a cliff or break my leg or something could eat me, but it's not a big deal to me. And then I read this book. You see, I've always kind of had it in my head that if I got attacked, I could do something. And, you know, then I, you know, moved to Idaho and started hiking the mountains, and there's, like, bears and mountain lions that could actually eat me. Okay, so I'm going to have to think about this. I'm like, all right, I get attacked by a bear, I'll go climb a tree. Sure I will. I will hide from the bear. I will react. I'll get something out of my pack and fight back. Then I read this book, Series of Bear Encounters by Experienced Guides. And every one of them is surprised at how sudden and fierce the bears attack. I've changed my strategy a little bit. Now when I hike, I am aware. Okay, hang on. This can get really confusing. Haven't we been talking for the last couple of minutes about anxiety being bad? And now I'm telling us to be aware of the threat? I think Peter says both. Let me try to explain the difference. Anxiety and awareness are both in my head. But when I'm hiking, I'm aware, but I'm relaxed. When I walk through hallways at school and church, sometimes I'm not. I'm worried that people will laugh at me. When I walk through the woods, I'm aware that a bear might attack me. There's a difference. What does Peter say? He says, I need to give my fears and my anxieties over to the one with the mighty hands. But I also need to be aware of the other one who wants to destroy me. I need to give my fear over saying something stupid. Give that over to God. That's anxiety. But I need to listen to what God has already said. I need to not open up that screen that might lead me to temptation. There's an attack there. That's awareness. I often spend my energy the opposite way. The potential of sin's no big deal. But the fear is huge. I need to switch my energy. Let go of the energy that I'm wasting on all those things I can't control. Focus my energy on the awareness that someone really does want to hurt me. It's a big, scary lion. I can't see him, but he's real. God is bigger than my fear. God wants to carry my fear, but he would also prefer I not be blindsided by sin. Did you listen closely to what Trent said? I'm not going to let the possibility of bears keep me from hiking, nor should I let the fear of failure keep me from living. Let me try to compare these just a little bit more. I've been laughed at, and I have failed. But can I tell you, the reality of those things is not nearly as bad as what's in my head. Middle school was really rough for me because I got laughed at a lot. But anxiety is much less about the pain of being laughed at and much more about a bigger fear of the possibility of being laughed at. They're different. The feelings are real, but the facts may not be. Every semester, we get together, a few of us get together in a speech class, and every semester you deal with anxiety and you say things like, you're not going to say I'm in my class. Every semester, somebody says, I'm going to, you know my record, no one has ever died in my class. It's not going to happen. The anxiety is bigger than reality. That's how fear and anxiety works. The facts and feelings don't line up. Of course, there's some facts there. It wouldn't make any sense. But the anxiety is usually so much bigger than the facts. You've heard all the messages about suffering. You may have some anxiety about that. That's real. You know what else is real? God has mighty hands. And God really does care. The enemy wants to devour you. He will use any method he can to do so. God does not say, ignore your anxiety. He says, give it to me and I'll carry it for you. But that will take mental effort to decide and energy to practice. Can I say that again? God doesn't say, ignore your anxiety. He says, give it to me. I'll carry it for you. But that will take mental effort to decide and energy to practice. I feel like I better clear something up, though, because we've been talking about lions. What are we supposed to do with the lion? Resist, run, fight. Let's pretend it's Tuesday. We're at the very end of watching Mondays with Michael on Tuesday. And sitting right there on the couch are Michael and Hunter, and they look at us and they say, and remember,
go Lions!
I thought we were supposed to resist the lion. Why are we the lions? Have you heard the speakers this semester who have said, we belong to Jesus? That's why we're the lions. We belong to him. That's why we have a heavenly mindset, like Mr. Faber told us. That's why we have an eternal perspective, like Mr. Whitaker told us, and both Trent and Michael echoed that in their messages. Jesus is described as a lion that saves us by destroying his and our enemies. He's bigger. He's better. He's the good lion. That's why we are the lions. There's a little part of you that wants to say, duh. But is there a part of you that also says you need reminded that Jesus is bigger than the anxiety or the enemy that wants to use that anxiety to destroy you? You remember when Tweety talked about the corner? And he reminded us, and he said, you already know this, but let Jesus handle it. Jesus is the good lion, and he's stronger than the other lion. Encouragement for you this summer, every piece of BBC merch that you see, may it remind you to cast your anxiety on the big lion and resist the enemy lion. Maybe it will remind you of some things your brother said this semester that was encouraging. Let me go back to verse 6. See where it said, humble yourselves, therefore. You've been humbled this semester? I have. Are we humble enough to set our political reactions aside? Some of our brothers encouraged us to do that. Look at some of the words that begin that chapter. Don't be domineering. If you're younger, submit to those who are older. Clothe yourselves with humility. We don't submit willingly. True story. You've heard it. Walking down this hallway multiple times in the past 2 weeks, talking about chapel, talking about assignments, talking about many positive things. I have heard these words whined loudly. I don't want to. We're going to have a time of confession. How many of you? No, you don't have to do that right now, but you've said it. I don't want to. You ever not want to do what you're told? You ever know what you need to do and you just plain don't want to do it? You know who else says that? I just wonder if in an RA meeting, if Tammy says, hey, housing meeting this week, guys. Hey, I need you to talk to this other student about curfew issues. Do you ever think the RAs look at each other and say, I don't want to? I believe those are supposed to be closed meetings. What about your professors facing hundreds of pages of grading over the next 2 weeks? Do they say, I don't wanna? Yeah, well, at least one of them does. What about your parents? What about the decision makers? What about the administrators? Do you think they ever say, I don't wanna? Do you ever just not want to place your anxiety on the one with the mighty hands? Hard to humble yourselves. What about our example? What about the great lion? The one we are to live like. Did Jesus ever say it? How did Jesus defeat him? How did Jesus defeat the scary lion? How did Jesus deal with anxiety? Hang on, did Jesus have anxiety? Maybe. Luke tells us clearly that he was in agony. Our brother Josh referenced a moment before the great victory. In the moment before Jesus conquers the other lion, he steps aside and he asks his followers to pray. And he asks them to pray to resist the lion. And then he goes off and prays before he's going to defeat that lion. And do you know what he said? He said, I don't want to. He said, God, this cross, is there any other way? He prayed, let this cup pass from me. And then he said, nevertheless, will you say it with me? Not my will, but yours be done. How do we resist a lion that wants to destroy us? By leaning into the lion who wants to conquer both the scary lion and our anxiety. When we pray, we can say, Lord Jesus, I know you get it. And I know you beat it. Will you please carry this for me? Because he took it to his Father. And he gives us access to call him our Father. Didn't Peter remind us to do that? Maybe that idea can carry you through the summer and help you live like Jesus. If you want to spend time with Jesus this summer and you don't know what to read, maybe you could spend some more time with the old man, Peter. But as we head into summer, I hope that you will remember to live like Jesus by giving your anxiety over to God with the mighty hands.
Thank you for listening today. Boise Bible College exists to raise up leaders for the church, where we value scholarship, humility, innovation, and community. For more information about Boise Bible College, please see boisebible.edu.